Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. I'll try to give Jim a few minutes or more time there for his meeting. I was thinking of what I might put together for tonight, and was thinking of this portion in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and we have here the story of 70 who were sent out by the Lord Jesus, sent out in a number of cities and places, and places where he himself would come. And let's look at verse 1 in chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. He sent them forth to preach the gospel, to take the word of God to the various cities in the surrounding area, and places that as they went two by two, that they could go and minister the word of God and to preach forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to those in these places. And we see in verse 2, before they leave, he says, "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth labors into his harvest." The harvest is great, but the labors are few. And it's so true today, isn't it? The labors are so few. The harvest is great. The opportunities of preaching the gospel and hearing the gospel on radio and TV and many other ways. But the labors, the real labors, are few. And it's labor, isn't it? We're to be real laborers for God. Sometimes we become complacent and content in our own world and in our own kind of environment. But we see that it's real labor to preach the gospel and to minister the word of God, to be an encouragement to others, to minister to the needs of others, and so on, is real labor. It reminds them to pray. Pray ye that the Lord of the harvest would send forth labors into his harvest. Prayer. To pray ye the Lord of the harvest to send forth labors into the harvest field. And it can only be done through the Lord of the harvest. If we try in our own strength and our own desires and so on, we'll fall. But when the Lord of the harvest appoints and sends forth, we see that it's ordained of him. And it's he's the one that allows us to be real laborers into his harvest. He's the one that he's the Lord of the harvest. He's the one that's in control and one who is the great harvester. We're going to go on down to the return of the 7 when they returned. Twice in the New Testament that I've seen, and you may have found that there's more times, but the Lord Jesus speaks to the Father and he says, "I thank thee, Father." I've only found twice. We know at the Lord's Supper when he instituted the bread and the cup, speaking of his death on the cross of Calvary that he was to face, he gives thanks for the bread and for the cup to the Father. He speaks from his heart that is heavy, knowing full well that he is to face the suffering of the cross. He gives thanks. But I find only twice where he speaks to the Father and says, "I thank thee, Father." And once is in this portion. I'm going to begin at verse 16. "He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me." So we see here very interesting, as the Lord Jesus speaks, he says, if those that you're able to speak the word of God to, they hear you, they're hearing me. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's Lord. And if we speak his word, you're hearing me. So often today, there's many words that are spoken, but they're not really speaking the true words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people are not really hearing him. They're not hearing the Lord Jesus because his word is not being spoken. And I think as we see that as a characteristic in the last days in which we're living, there will be many false prophets and false teachings that will be characteristic of the last days. They're not words of the Lord Jesus. They're man's words. And we need to be careful today, because we're going to see one of the interesting truths, I think one of the great truths of the Word of God that the Lord Jesus speaks of. And if they despise you, they're going to despise me. If they despise you, they despise me, because they're speaking of him. And you know, today we see that people at large don't want to hear the word of God, do they? They despise those that speak forth the truth of the Word of God. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to simply believe the truth. And as a result of unbelief, they despise, bringing shame upon the Lord Jesus, the one who came not to destroy men's lives, but to save to the uttermost. "And he that despiseth me, he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me." They despise the Lord Jesus. If they despise the servants that are going forth to preach the word, then they despise the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the center of the message that God is proclaiming to man. And if they despise him, they're despising the one who sent him, the Father, who sent his Son into the world to be the Savior of mankind. And it's a characteristic today, isn't it? The world despises the message of the gospel. They don't want to hear the truth of the Word of God. They don't want to hear the true one who came from heaven's glory and gave his life that they might have eternal life. They're turning away their ears from the truth unto fables and all kinds of things that only is the wisdom of man. And verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit, and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. And all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. As the 70 returned, they were greeted by the Lord Jesus with great rejoicing. I think this is the only time that we see that's recorded that the Lord Jesus rejoiced in spirit. He rejoiced in spirit. His spirit within him was rejoicing as these ones returned. The main thing that the Lord Jesus, I think, wanted to get across to these men was the fact that he had given them power to overcome the enemy and to tread on serpents and scorpions and so on, and nothing would hurt you. But not to rejoice in that. Not to rejoice in that overcoming that the Lord had given to them. Not to rejoice in that. But to rejoice that their names were written in heaven. And you know, sometimes we look at the fact that that we don't do this or we don't do that. And sometimes we need to. And sometimes we judge ourselves in the light of the fact of the negative things. We don't do certain things. There's certain things that we feel, according to Scripture, is wrong, and which is true, and we need to judge ourselves in different things. But on the other side, I think we need to rejoice in the positive things. The Lord Jesus said to them, not to rejoice in the spirits are made subject to you, but to rejoice in the fact that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice in the fact that in heaven, the names that are there, that your name is before God, and He knows our names. And we need to recognize that we're bearing His name. God has revealed His Son to us, and His Son has revealed the Father to us, and we're bearing His name. We're carrying His name, this one. And though He had given them power over the enemy, and scorpions and serpents and so on, but He didn't want them to dwell on that, but to dwell in the positive fact that their names are written in heaven. And that was a cause of rejoicing, that our names are written there in glory, And we bear his name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. It caused the spirit of the Lord Jesus to rejoice. And you imagine when we're with him in glory, as a bride gathers to the bridegroom, and what a day of rejoicing that's going to be when we gather around his throne and we see him face to face. The rejoicing of the bride in meeting the bridegroom. What a day that will be. And I'm sure as the Lord Jesus rejoiced in hearing of the report of those who had spoken forth the word and that heard his word, and they were rejoicing in the fact that they were able to go forth as servants for him and to speak forth the word of God. Notice what he says, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." Something that was hid, that was now revealed. And the Lord Jesus was thankful to the Father that these things were hid from the wise and the prudent, would now be revealed to the babes, those who are tender, those who are young, those who are eager to know, those who are eager to be a servant for him, those who had listening ears and hearts that are willing to respond. To babes, not the wisdom of man, the prudent man, but the simple babe who with simple faith believed God. I'm thankful today that's how the Word of God goes forth. It began by 12 disciples, just fishermen, men who were just simple men, and yet they believed God. When the Lord Jesus came to them and spoke to them, they just simply believed, and they followed him. Just believing what God says. One of the characteristics of the last days are days of unbelief. That men's hearts will be turned to the world and the wisdom of man and the things of man, rather than seeing the simple things and simple faith and trust and what the Word of God says to us. Can we believe and follow him? That God had hid these things from the wise and the prudent, but now are revealed to babes. Let's go to Isaiah 29 just for a few verses there. Isaiah chapter 29. For the sake of time, I'm just going to begin at verse 13. "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men." Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of the wise men shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent shall be hid. And you see, God hid these things from the wise and the prudent men, because their hearts, they draw near with their mouth and with their lips, but their heart is far from Him. And notice what their heart was listening to. Their fear towards me was taught by the precepts of man. Fear towards God was seen through the precepts of man, the wisdom of man, rather than seeing God and seeing His word and the precepts of His word. They were seeing the precepts of man, no longer following the word of God, because the wisdom of man, the prudence of man, was that which they were caught up in. The simple word of God and speaking forth His word is revealed to us as babes in Christ. Let's just go over, and we'll just go to the second one in John's Gospel, John chapter 11. We have here the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. John chapter 11 and verse 41. The Lord Jesus at the grave of Lazarus. Those who were weeping because of Lazarus' death. And Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And the Lord Jesus wept. He wept with Mary and Martha and those that were there. In verse 41, then they took away the stone where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. We see that He said before, I thank Thee that Thou hast hid these things, but now You've revealed to babes. But here He says, I thank Thee that You've heard me. You've already heard me. And you see, it's the Lord Jesus is showing that it's not the wisdom and the precepts of men, but it's hearing Him. It's hearing the truth concerning Him. And that needs to be our focal point, doesn't it? He's hid these things from the wisdom of man and so on, but He's made them known to those who simply believe by faith. I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me, and I knew that Thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they might believe that Thou hast sent me. And I think this is a good illustration of babes that He's talking about. But there were those that would just simply believe concerning Him. And that's why He spoke out to the Father, I know You hear me always. I know You always hear me. But I said that because of those that were around, that they may believe that Thou hast sent me. He said for the multitude, the people that were around, the babes, those that were simply willing to believe what they saw, and Lazarus coming forth, and how the Lord Jesus spoke, and how He wept, and so on, all reflected on the fact that this truly is the Son of God, the One who came to save men from their sins. I thank Thee that thou hast heard me, that thou hearest me always. And this is the same message that he proclaimed to them that we have today, to simply believe the message of the Word of God. The simple things, the simple faith of man is what God is looking for. Not the wisdom of the world and so on, and men trying to figure out the issues of society and how we need to change in the religious circle. No, it's just simply believing what the Word of God says about the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting Him. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank Thee for His relationship to You, and how He spoke out to the Father in thanksgiving to Him. Help us, Father, to just simply believe You and to walk by faith and not by sight of man, and the precepts of man, but that we might dare to trust You and to go forth and live for You in a troubled and difficult world. We give You thanks for Your Word in Christ's name.